We welcome you to our study of the book of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course. Today we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, to which he received approval as righteous, God bearing witness by accepting his gifts. He died, but through his faith he is still speaking. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now first the writer talks about Abel's faith. Who was Abel? Well, he was one of those early sons of Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel were the two sons born to those first parents of mankind. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 4, and I want to read that story. The author Moses gives us this record in Genesis 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought the portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The writer of Hebrews tells us that Abel received approval from God as righteous because he offered an acceptable sacrifice. Apparently, there was communication from God to men in those early days about what God wanted. That communication is not recorded in the book of Genesis. But somehow Abel knew that what God expected was an animal sacrifice. But Cain must have known it also, because he felt guilt for not offering an animal sacrifice, and he decided that he would worship God in his own way. But Jesus had something to say about this. First of all, he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Abel chose the way of truth because there was instruction from God regarding how they should worship. Cain, however, decided he would worship according to his own desire, and he invented his own religion. And men have been doing that ever since. Friends, God is in charge, and he will decide how we worship him and what truth is. If we decide what is acceptable to God, we can never have confidence that God has accepted our sacrifice. Where do we get our ideas for what God wants? Should I let my conscience be my guide? Does it matter as long as I have sincerity? Sincerity is found in Satan worship, in false religion, and in paganism. But the Bible says there is a way which seems right to man, but the end of it is death. Let me comment briefly on some of the practices that we have today which men have invented. They didn't come from God. One thing the Bible teaches us that there is a mediator and only one mediator between God and man, and he is the only way to the Father. But there are religions and religions in the United States which try to go to the Father apart from that mediator. Have you ever wondered why the epistles written to believers in the churches never promote the use of an altar in a Christian meeting? That seems to have come from Cain. Neither do the scriptures give instruction about a building as God's house, or the burning of incense, or a lampstand, or candles, or any special clothing for church officials. You will find such things, however, in many churches. As you read your New Testament, you can't find any instruction for a worship service. New Testament Christianity is not concerned with physical objects like altars, crosses, candles, or clergymen. All that is foreign to the faith way to God. We have borrowed most of those things from the obsolete religion of Judaism because we don't understand the critical distinctions between Jesus Christ and Moses. Moses gave the law, but grace and truth, which is a good description of Christianity, came by Christ. If there are no instructions on how to worship, then God has given us freedom to decide how to worship. But we dare not decide that all men must worship the way we think we ought to worship. The bottom line in worship is that we worship in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. Jesus proclaimed this. The Samaritans believed that they had to worship on Mount Gerizim, near the city of Nablus in Samaria. And when Jesus, in John chapter 4, went to Samaria, he encountered a woman at the well who brought up religion. And she said, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, but you Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place to worship." Well, Jesus explained to her that God was not going to be interested in the place of worship any longer. He, of course, in the Old Testament had specified that Jerusalem would be the place. Jerusalem was designated as God's city. It's called the Holy City in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus told the woman at the well, "Believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Now, apart from the truth of God's word, we cannot know how to worship. And Jesus, in that statement, was declaring to that Samaritan woman that there would be a day when the place of worship would no longer be important. Even though the Old Testament declared that a place was important. You see, we have entered another age. With the coming of Jesus Christ, he is our mediator. And he is our high priest. He has gone into heaven and is seated there. He intercedes for us. Things have changed. God ended the religion of Judaism, and he has given us a new way of spirit and truth. So whether you go to a church building or not is not at all a concern of God. God wants you to be with his people. That is clearly expressed here in Hebrews chapter 10. God wants us to be built up in the faith, and He wants us to build up others in the faith and to be encouraged in the faith. But where we do that is of little concern to God. For that reason, the New Testament never calls a meeting place the Church of God. The Church is people. Wherever people met in the name of our Lord, that was the Church. And when the people left that building or that home, it was no longer the Church. You see, the word Church means an assembly of God's people. If you go to a Bible class and there are being built up in the faith, then you have accomplished what God desires as expressed in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Now, you may be going to a church where you can't worship. Perhaps it's too noisy or too informal. Then again, you may be going to a church where the ritual is so overwhelming you can't worship God because of all that's going on. Worship must be from the heart, and it must be in truth. That involves faith. And faith, of course, focuses on the Word of God, where God has declared what He wants us to believe and what He wants us to do. Now, how do we know that Abel was righteous? Because Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, referred to the blood of Abel, the righteous one. In addition, the Apostle John, in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 12, tells us that Cain killed Abel because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Why did it matter to God whether Cain offered vegetables or whether he offered an animal for a sacrifice? God was showing to men of old that blood was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And for that temporary period, He allowed animal sacrifices to cover sin. Cain wanted to undo that. He wanted to eliminate blood from the necessary sacrifice for sin. But Abel was righteous. He followed the pattern of God, for when Adam and Eve had sinned, God clothed them with animal skins. And that meant the sacrifice of animals to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Well, that was a lesson calling for blood to cover sin. Animals were slain by God, and Abel followed the pattern of God in his sacrifice. Which of Paul's epistles is the greatest? Martin Luther favored Galatians. Galatians is an epistle that sets people free from the bondage of the law. I did not fully appreciate the Christian faith until I understood and began teaching Paul's letter to the Galatians. Those teachings are on tapes on Galatians, and they'll give you insight into the most critical problems which hindered first century Christians. And they will instruct you on how to please God apart from the law. Information on how to order teaching tapes on Galatians is available by writing to the Radio Bible Course. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.